Hey everybody, thanks for tuning into the podcast. Today's episode of the podcast is brought to you by my book, The Toxic Masculinity Crisis, on sale now at Amazon.com. Culture has really turned on masculinity, and a small minority of third wave communist feminists and their allies tried to redefine the man's role in society. The toxic masculinity crisis really kind of takes that apart and reminds men and young men and boys what they were supposed to be, why they are the way they are, and what the purpose of it is. Nice quick read, only $11.99. Available now, Amazon.com. The Toxic Masculinity Crisis by Dennis M. Brown. So, today is Purple Heart Day. So I'd like to take a moment and recognize and thank, humble gratitude, all of the soldiers, sailors, Marine, airmen, and Coast Guard folks who've put their bodies on the line in defense of our country and our Constitution and been hurt. Thank you. From the bottom of my heart, thank you, each and every one of you. My great-grandfather, Percy Brown, fought in World War I. And he's the only family member I'm aware of that got the Purple Heart. My grandfather had the Purple Heart framed, and the telegram that was sent to his grandmother framed in his office, in his house. So as a kid, I always saw it there, this old, faded, folded-up telegraph. The telegraph must have been stored some other way for a very long time and eventually framed. And he used to read it. And then in school one day, they told us when World War I ended, November 11th, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, that's not right. And the teacher thought I was an idiot and explained that the reason that I knew it was wrong was that my great-grandfather had been shot after the 11th. And it turns out he was shot after the war was over. And in the modern era of cell phones and satellite phones and instant communication, and we forget there was a time that news traveled a bit slower. So where he was, they didn't find out for about 5 days before the war ended, and they were still fighting each other. It's not funny. I'm sure some people actually died. So it's sad, but it's true. He was shot and injured, I believe it was 3 days after the war ended, and received a Purple Heart for it. So that's my funny Purple Heart story. I guess it's not really funny, but it's 100 years ago. So now it's kind of funny. Just a reminder of how far we've come in 100 years in the field of communications. I'm talking into a small black rectangle. In about an hour, you're going to be listening to this. So that's where we've got. All over the world. So today, something came out with the mayor of New York talking about wanting to censor the media. And I think maybe he was just talking about Fox News. But regardless, the day after the mainstream media folks led an attack on InfoWars and Alex Jones to have them removed from social media. Today, LinkedIn kicked Alex Jones off LinkedIn. So he was going to look for a new job. It's not going to happen. So the argument that it's his content is the problem seems to be not the case. Since I don't believe he's posting videos. Oh my goodness, I had a coffee right before this too, I'm sorry. I don't think he's posting videos to his LinkedIn page. But now, now he's been kicked off of iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, LinkedIn, and I believe someone said that his Pinterest page was also shut down. So in case you wanted to know what color drapes to put on your survival bunker, now you can't find out. Now you'll never know. It's too late. But Brian Stetler, whatever his name is, from CNN, came out in defense of the mayor of New York calling for media censorship because he was only talking about Fox. Like, what? Whenever I see this stuff, whenever I see the left go after itself for not being left enough, or whenever I see, you know, we talked about before the case of Brett Weinstein out there at Evergreen College, State University, whatever it was called, where the lefties went after an old school lefty because he wasn't left enough and tried to kill him with baseball bats. I always think of the French Revolution and Robespierre. You know, Robespierre became a member of the Committee of Public Safety. The Committee of Public Safety saw to it as their personal mission to kill everyone who was not revolutionary enough within the revolution. They set up the guillotine and they just started chopping off heads. And it was known as the Reign of Terror. They eventually ruled that they didn't have to have a trial. An accusation was sufficient. So an accusation of really anything, but not being revolutionary enough would lead to the guillotine, and there was no trial or witnesses or statements necessary or required. Eventually, the Reign of Terror ended when Robespierre's own neck was stuck in the guillotine, and that was the end of that. So, you know, in the meantime, for months and months and months, they were just rounding people up and chopping their heads off all day. That's what I always think of. And that's what Brian Stetler's thing made me think of today. Like, here's a guy who works for CNN who constantly is reporting things that aren't true or ignoring big stories or any number of misleading tactics. And he's cheering for a government censorship of a different news outlet because he doesn't agree with the particular bias that they have. Now, obviously, Fox News is biased. There's no one that's suggesting that Fox, other than Fox News' little tagline, fair and balanced, but even that I think is kind of a joke. Aren't they kidding? I think they're kidding. So, and then you got Brian Stetler over at CNN. They pretend also that they're not biased, but clearly they are biased. I mean, come on. For 8 years, they didn't criticize the president. Now they can't shut up about criticizing the president. Obviously, there's an ideological bias at both Fox News and CNN. So here he is saying that the government should ban a news outlet because he doesn't agree with their particular brand of bias. Meanwhile, he's a biased news person. And I just think it's the kind of thing that, you know, once you give Robespierre, or once Robespierre goes out and gets the power to execute his countrymen, and also gets rid of the idea of some sort of real jurisprudence and the burden of proof, jury trial, all that stuff, just gets rid of that. We don't need any of that stuff. Just a fast lane to the execution chamber. And then what happens? He gets executed because he created the whole thing. And then the left eats itself, I laugh. And then when Brian Stetler is calling for the censorship of an entire news outlet because of the he doesn't appreciate the tact or their angle of their bias, I think it's hysterical. Because what do you think happens after you grant the government the power to stifle news programming they don't agree with? You think that it's never going to come back to bite you? You think that guillotine isn't nice and sharp and ready just for your neck? Apparently he thinks it's not. Come on, folks. You don't need to censor the news. Are there people that watch Fox News and believe blindly everything that they're told on there? Perhaps including the President of the United States? Yes. Is that the worst thing that's ever happened in the history of humanity? Not really. Let's not forget, you know, in our lifetimes, that the news media of little African country called Rwanda encouraged half the population to murder the other half with machetes and clubs. They killed 1 million people in 6 weeks. That's not exactly what Fox News is doing, is it? No. So, you know, and then the other side is just as biased. You can say MSNBC is not just as biased as Fox News because you like the bias. I mean, come on. Let's at least tell the truth. Like, I'm a conservative guy. I lean pretty far right. Fox News is biased. And so is MSNBC. And so is CNN. And so is NBC. And so they all are. Come on. Just tell the truth. We have different bias. I personally, when I do watch TV news, which is almost never, I like to flip back and forth between Fox News and MSNBC when there's something important going on, because somewhere in there is the truth. So MSNBC will tell you things that are factual that Fox News will not, and vice versa. And then you hear their commentary, and it's ridiculous on both sides, and then somewhere in the middle of all that, you have some facts and some commentary that is in opposition to itself in your head, and you can think about it and kind of... It's a quick way. Not that you can become an expert on a topic by doing that, but it's a kind of a quick way to sort of figure out what's going on. I like to do that. But if neither one is biased, or if you get rid of one, then you can't do it. It's not your job as a government or as a news organization or as a citizen to protect your fellow citizens from their own stupidity. If somebody watches MSNBC, Rachel Maddow, and thinks that everything she says is factually accurate, it's not my job. It's not the government's job, and it's not MSNBC's job, by the way, to tell them that that's not the case. And the same goes for Sean Hannity's show, and the same goes for The Five, and the same goes, whatever. Whatever show you want, whatever news media personality you want to pick on, it's not Slate's job to present a conservative case to all their stupid social justice warrior articles. It's not. If you don't see that the article about how raccoons are racist and a tool of white supremacy is a social justice warrior article and ridiculous, I can't help you with that. Neither can anyone else, by the way. Like, we need to maintain a certain amount of freedom in this country, or the country ceases to exist. And the freedom of individuals and people and companies to be biased and have an opinion, you can't legislate it away. No one is forced to watch Fox News. No one, except for people sitting in airports, are forced to watch CNN. And if you look at CNN's ratings, that's pretty obvious. Because no one's watching it. Oh, fun fact, CNN was having a fit and wanted InfoWars pulled from YouTube. They led this campaign to get people mad at YouTube until they pulled Alex Jones' InfoWars site down, which they did. And like I said yesterday, go back and listen to yesterday's podcast, it's the worst possible thing you could do if you want to defeat Alex Jones is to pull him off of YouTube. And then today it happened. Alex Jones' app, he has an app where you can watch a show or listen to a show, whatever the case may be. Alex Jones' app surpassed CNN's app for subscriptions today. One day. So CNN wanted to get rid of Alex Jones because they didn't like the competition. And one day later, Alex Jones surpasses CNN for viewership on his app. There you go. How you like that? Like I said, you don't want to back that guy in a corner and make him seem like a victim, because he's over there crying about being a victim all the time anyway. He's the outsider. He's the one who's being picked on. He's the one who's being silenced. He's the one who's the true voice of the true patriots who listen to his show, blah, 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 all this stuff. And now you're making it come true. You're turning him into a prophet. And the people who like him respond. They go out and sign up for his app, so now they can still get his show. So who wins? I don't know. Alex Jones wins. In reality, if he could monetize the app, if he could monetize the videos, and everyone who watches it is coming directly to him, and nobody's going to YouTube, and he's not splitting any of the revenue, you don't, and you just, it's just the way it is. And the more forbidden it is, the more you make people want it. So there you go. Alex Jones' InfoWars app now surpasses subscriptions to CNN's news app. One day. That didn't take long. But none of that's what I came to talk to you about today. I didn't come to talk to you about Brian Stetler and his stupid dreams of being beheaded in his own guillotine. I didn't come to talk to you about Purple Heart Day and my grandfather being shot, my great-grandfather, I'm sorry, being shot in the leg after World War I was over. I came to you to talk to you about a new Batwoman movie. Now, I'm not the biggest superhero movie fan, so if you love superhero movies, if you've watched all the Marvel movies and all the DC movies, I haven't. I've seen some. I've seen a couple of the X-Men's. I saw the first Deadpool. I saw the first First two Iron Man, I think. I think I saw Avengers 1, and I saw Captain America 1. Is there a 2 on that one? I don't know. And I'm trying to think. I think that's about it. Oh, I saw some of the Spider-Man, but I think that was 3 Spider-Mans ago. Because they keep redoing Spider-Man with new Spider-Man. I don't know. I don't know the logic behind that. And then, oh, both the independent Incredible Hulk movies prior to the Avengers. The terrible one. And Ed Norton's less terrible one. But still terrible. And I love Ed Norton. I'm not trying to knock Ed Norton. But. So. Oh, a bunch of Batmans. I've seen a bunch of the Batman movies. Going back to the old day. Michael Keaton. Clooney. I saw the one with Jim Carrey as the Riddler. But anyway, they're coming out the Batwoman movie. I saw Catwoman when it was Michelle Pfeiffer. Now they're coming out the Batwoman movie, and they're casting Ruby Rose from Orange is the New Black, I believe she's on a television show, as a Batwoman. And the media outlets, the social justice warrior media outlets, are so happy because she's going to play a lesbian Batwoman. It's so exciting to have a lesbian superhero. I'm not sure why it's exciting. I don't really understand that part of it. I get that a lot of the male superheroes have like a love interest, like Superman and Lois Lane. I get that that goes on. I'm not sure why the sexuality of your Batwoman really comes into play. I suppose if there's a Batman has Vicky Vale, so I suppose if there's a Vicky Vale kind of thing for Batwoman, it would be also a woman. I don't know. I'm not sure that that's exciting, but they're excited about it. But that's not even what I want to talk about. The fact they're making a superhero movie, which is something children want to watch, and they're trying to push sexuality, gender issues in that, you know, it's probably not good. The movie probably won't do well. There's probably parents who are going to avoid it because they don't really want to expose their kids and have to answer questions when their 8-year-old asks about why is that lady kissing another lady. Stuff like that. You know, like in the heart of America, we still want to let our kids be kids. We're not trying to teach kindergartners about gender. But anyway, I digress. Here's the problem. Batman is a stupid superhero to begin with, right? He's just a rich dude with a bunch of really expensive toys. But he's a fighter. Like, he's a trained fighter, and he's a man. He's kind of tall, maybe, and he's pretty strong. It's kind of halfway believable, right? Like, if a guy who's 6'2", weighs 190 pounds, punches someone in the face with metal gloves, it's probably do a little damage. You know what I mean? He can throw that grappling hook. Whatever, all the little gadgets he's got. It's halfway believable. He gets shot in the chest with a pistol and he's wearing that armor plate and he's probably not going to fall over. I get it. All right, fine, big guy. Ruby Rose is 5'7", and she weighs 128 pounds. Who are the villains she's going to fight? All-girl villains? Is she going to fight, like, the Victoria's Secret models? I don't understand. A 128-pound woman with all the fancy suit in the world. Now, remember, whatever she's wearing for a suit has to be light enough for her to walk in it at 5'7", a buck 28. So even if you carbon fibered it up to make it pretty light, it's still going to affect her punch and kick speed. And eventually the impact is not going to be all that great. A woman who's 5'7" and weighs 128 pounds... probably can't hit that hard. And I don't want you to come back to me and talk about some professional fighter who fights 128 pounds or 125 pounds even, which would be a tiny woman. Like, a professional fighter that fights 125 pounds probably is 5'3", 5'4". But even so, a professional fighter that fights 125 pounds probably weighs 140 or 145 pounds. That's at least a little something. And obviously highly trained, highly skilled. Just not buying it. I don't think anybody's going to buy it. Nobody's going to go watch a movie and see a girl whose elbow is wider than her bicep beat up male villains and think, yeah, like you can suspend disbelief in a movie. I'm with you. Like The Rock and Jumanji, like picked up guys and threw them straight up in the air, and you're like, oh, it's a kind of cartoony, and it's a game and whatever. But it's still The Rock doing it. You're like, oh, okay, that guy's absolutely enormous. 6'4". I don't know, what does he weigh? 350. He's no neck. He's huge. Hits a guy, flies over. Okay, I'm buying it. He's gigantic. But if you did that with a girl who's 5'7 and a 128, I'm not buying it. It's too much. You can't ask people to believe it. It's like having the skinny kid from Road Trip be a superhero. Like, come on. I'm not buying it. Sorry. Like, Superman has superpowers, but he still has big muscles. Why does Superman have big muscles? Does he need big muscles to do all the stuff he can do? I mean, he can fly through the air, and he can catch a speeding train as it's falling off a thing. Does he really need those muscles? No. Why does Superman have muscles? So it's believable to watch it. If Superman was 5'5" and weighed 110 pounds, you wouldn't believe that he was a superhero. You'd watch it and be like, yeah, right. You got to have him be big and strong. So anyway, that's all I got for today, but I don't think the Batwoman movie with Ruby Rose is going to do well, and I don't think that anybody is going to want to watch it, because she's a tiny little girl. Listen, I hope you all have a fantastic day today. Thank you for tuning into the podcast. Don't forget to check out my book, and we'll see you tomorrow.